It is often said there are no coincidences, and I just want to reiterate the fact that Russia tested its nationwide emergency broadcast notification system, radio, television, cell, you name it, at the same time we tested ours. And if you missed the first hour, the big difference between Russia and the U.S. testing their systems, why test a system when you have absolutely no preparations to take care of your people? We have no civil defense here. What good is it going to do? We have nothing. Meanwhile, Russia has sheltering, food, water, medical, for all their population. Virtually. Their whole population. And they can put the entire number of people in Moscow in shelters. Well, I think it's 45 minutes, something like that. So they have a shelter. It's like a circle around the entire urban area of Moscow. And they have made plans. They care about their people. This alleged government couldn't give a damn less and care at all. So the idea of an emergency broadcast, it's kind of silly when you think about it. It's just as bad as telling people that the so-called vaccine, which it isn't, is safe and effective. It's all lies. Everything's lies over here. Everything. All right. We have a number of things we're going to cover tonight. We're going to have some fun. We're going to kind of go to school here. Not school, but we're going to take apart a liar, which is always instructive and informative. At least it should be. We're going to do that. You there, young lady?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Good evening to you. All right. So, Carrico and Weissman, Katerine Carrico and Drew Weissman, won the Nobel. Right. Most of you know that if you listen to this program regularly. And we also know that they have been termed by more than a few wags already as being mass murderers, Carrico and Weissman. And a very strong and compelling argument can be made to sustain that exact statement. They have been literally hands-on the inventors of what these bioweapons are doing to people. And I would only suggest that if they really didn't know what they were doing, which I don't believe for a microsecond, they should be removed from the scientific world of laboratories and respect immediately. Everybody knows what these bioweapons do. Everybody knows that they were constructed in a very sophisticated fashion to destroy human life. And if these two scientists didn't know that, sorry, it doesn't work.
I agree. It's very disturbing and appalling to see this. You know, it is rather, well, someone said perverse, and it is. It is that people
it's disgusting.
Academic stature would be lauded and plotted for. And applauded.
What are the chances that they weren't smart enough to figure out what they were doing and how it's being played out? Really?
Their own admission, they'd been working with this technology in the lab for a number of years, probably almost since the inception of the lipid nanoparticle transfection technology. And as we said the other night, the hurdle was always, how do we get the mRNA stable enough to get past the immune system and then get translated into a protein? And this is what they managed to do.
Well, I thought it was Bob Malone who did it. Wasn't he the inventor? He was
happy. He did develop that lipid nanoparticle transfection technology. But again, it stalled out because the mRNA couldn't make it into the cell in any appreciable amount to achieve the protein production.
Even with the SV40 promoter.
Well, I don't think they were using that at the time.
Not then. No, the point is that was one of the things they added to this. Not not Weissman and Carrico, but it was added. This thing was built incredibly well. What are you? Let me ask you. What are your thoughts about the level of diabolical sophistication that is in this weapon at this point, after all the work we've done and what we've learned? What do you think?
It's unsurpassed.
How hideous
it's,
is it? Yeah.
It is. It's unsurpassed. I liken it to a form of genetic rape. You know, the body does not want this stuff.
Fatal,
it's completely synthetic.
Rape.
The whole construct is nothing that would occur in nature. It has to be synthesized in a lab and in a very sneaky, stealth way to achieve its purpose. So it bypasses whatever defenses the body has naturally to protect itself from foreign genetic material being expressed in its own organism. And it doesn't quit. Once it's in, it doesn't quit.
As in, as long as the organism is alive, it's still doing its dirt.
Right. And, it could just, by virtue of wearing out the body, just continually having to deal with this threat, it takes energy away from other things.
Right. Constantly stressed out to the max on multiple levels, the body.
Yeah.
It's under siege. It's obviously very concerned if it had an intelligence like that kind of intelligence. This is a horrible thing. It reminds me of the heart having to pump that sludge 24 hours a day through a vasculature that has been severely compromised, and the heart can't do it. And so the heart just wears out.
Yeah, the valves end up wearing out, and that's if you manage to escape the autoimmune attack, which right now they're saying that everybody that got an mRNA vaccine injection with this stuff has myocarditis, whether they have symptoms or not. Their heart has been damaged to some degree.
Well, we can all, then I think I would logically go to that CCP alleged leak video where the Chinese communists were saying, don't worry about the Americans anymore. All of them who have gotten injected, they're on the way out. And there can be an argument made to sustain that thesis as well.
The myriad of problems that are resulting from this, it's just endless.
Terrible problems. Yeah, huge problems. Not trivials. Trivial. These are big, big problems. Here's a little video. Set this up. This is right after the Nobel Prize was formally announced as having gone to Weissman and Carrico. You know, anything you want to add to that? We'll just play it. This is at the University of Pennsylvania.
So they gave a little bit, I guess you would call it a press conference, where they took questions and answers and expressed their gratitude. But it's in this little 3-minute clip, their delusional arrogance is on full display.
All right, let's take a listen. Here we go. Delusional arrogance. Very good.
Day for Drs. Carrico and Dr. Weissman. It is also a great day for science.
The Nobel Assembly at Karolinska Institutet has today decided to award the 2023 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine jointly to Katalin Carrico and Drew Weissman for their discoveries concerning nucleoside base modifications that enabled the development of effective mRNA vaccines against COVID-19.
I get the first call, although...
That was the formal announcement. Here's Katalin Carrico. She'll be speaking first, I believe.
They tried to reach Drew, but somehow their telephone number did not work. So they called me up. It was 3:40 or something, very early, and my husband picked up the phone. and talked to somebody and said, you know, this is for you. So he handed over the telephone and, you know, was said that, you know, me and Drew Weissman, who received the Nobel Prize today, and I was like, I didn't know whether it is real, you know. We suspected maybe some, you know, prank, yeah.
And we said, you know, this has to be a prank. Some anti-vaxxer is you know, playing with us, and, you know, this can't be real. But, you know, we sit back and we wait for the announcement, and we sat in bed and, you know, looking at my wife and my cat who's begging for food. And we wait and the press conference starts, and it was real. So then we really became excited by this.
Drew came from NIH, and I was already here in 1997, already 8 years, and working with doing messenger RNA things. And I brag about that I can do RNA, and Drew was interested in vaccines, and that's how our collaboration started.
We worked side by side all of that time because we couldn't get funding, we couldn't get publications, we couldn't get really people to notice RNA as something interesting. It had failed clinical trials, and pretty much everybody gave up on it. Katie lit the match, and we spent the rest of, I don't know, 20 plus years working together, figuring out how to get it to work, how to get a vaccine to function well. And COVID hit, and the vaccines were recognized for 95% efficacy, which was really a turning point in RNA therapeutics. We would sit...
95% efficacy. On what planet?
As I said, delusional arrogance.
Together in 1997 and afterwards, and talk about all of the things that we thought RNA could do. All of the vaccines and therapeutics and gene therapies. And just realizing how important it had the potential to be. And that's why we never gave up. And we just kept persevering and kept working at it. And here we are today. Since...
Okay, I think I'll stop it there. That's enough. You all get the idea. And I, again, go back to what I suggested earlier. I'm not a scientist. But if these two didn't understand the true ramifications of what they were doing, the true ramifications of what they're doing. Well, first of all, I don't believe it. But that would be beyond incompetent. Beyond. So, you choose.
It's mind-numbing.
Yeah. All right. We have another clip of Drew Weissman. And this is going to be, I think, very enlightening to a lot of you who have followed not only this program, but the reality of what we're dealing with here. This is a contrived weapon called a countermeasure owned by the Department of Defense and the Pentagon. It is not a vaccine. It could never be a vaccine. It is anti-life. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is Drew Weissman, the current co-recipient of the Nobel in Medicine, talking about this technology and how it works. Now, just get ready. This is really amazing.
Now, just to preface this was a interview that he gave, I believe it was 2021, so it was still early in the pandemic. I believe the vaccines had just rolled out. And he was doing a question and answer with this group. I looked like there were, I don't know, six people on this Zoom call of sorts. It really is astonishing to hear him speak, and it's just lie after lie after lie.
Nonstop. And I think we may stop the video a few times, but you'll pick these up. They're astounding.
There's no way that said, that if he is of this academic caliber, that he did not know that what he was saying was completely false.
It can't be. I agree. Here we go. We're going to jump in here. And this is up under our names in guests, along with some other pieces that you should take a look at. This is a video of Drew Weissman. It says start at 12:38 on this particular video.
How can we be sure that this vaccine will not cause long-term negative impact in humans? Like, that's one of our big questions that we hear a lot.
So, I mean, the first is to understand what the vaccine is. The mRNA in the vaccine is identical to the RNA in your cells.
True or false?
False. And he knows
so
that.
The
of course he does.
RNA
I mean, they just said, they modified it.
Right. All right. Let me back it up just a little. All right, here we go. Start to see. This is just mind-boggling.
How can we be sure that this vaccine will not cause long-term negative impact in humans? Like, that's one of our big questions that we hear a lot.
So, I mean, the first is to understand what the vaccine is. The mRNA in the vaccine is identical to the RNA in your cells. So the RNA in your cells isn't causing long-term adverse events. So the RNA in the vaccine won't either. The RNA is degraded probably within a week. It's completely gone.
What? Do you remember early on when they told everyone that it would stay right in that one spot in your arm and wouldn't migrate around the body and that it's going to be gone. It's going to dissipate. Don't worry. It'll go away. Just like glyphosate. It's gone in a couple of days. All grotesque lies. Beyond belief lies. And
no, we now know that this mRNA, because it's modified to resist the enzymes that would normally break it down, it persists weeks, if not months.
Right. All right, let's go back. Here we go.
The mRNA in the vaccine is identical to the RNA in your cells. So the RNA in your cells isn't causing long-term adverse events. So the RNA in the vaccine won't either. The RNA is degraded probably within a week. It's completely gone. The lipid nanoparticles contain four types of fat. Two of the fats are identical to what's in our cells. They're physiologic. The other two are present at incredibly low levels. They are gone within 24 to 48 hours.
So the LNPs are gone within 24 to 48 hours. Yes. And how, Drew, do you know that?
No, there's nothing to substantiate that. They haven't studied it.
No.
The body degrades them. They're gone. So nothing of the vaccine is left after days to a week or so.
The vaccine injection is 100% gone from your body after a few days to a week or so.
Is that right?
This is really astonishing to hear this. And this is Drew Weissman. Here we go.
The question that comes, well, then how do you get a long-term adverse event? Well, you can't from any components of the vaccine because
you can't get any long-term adverse event from any of the components in this vaccine. This is throwing whopper after whopper.
With
go ahead.
Assurity.
Oh, yeah. Yep, here we go.
Event. Well, you can't from any components of the vaccine because they're gone. The mRNA does not integrate into the DNA. It doesn't affect the DNA. It doesn't change the DNA.
No, that's not true.
So far he's batting zero.
Right.
In terms of truth. Zero.
No, we have some indication now, at least in the lab, where those researchers showed in liver cells, hepatocytes, that within 6 hours of being transfected, those liver cells had the mRNA or the RNA transcript reverse transcribed into the DNA.
Forever.
So it happens in vitro, and it may also happen in vivo.
All right. And like I say, we're kind of watching this. It's quite a show. Here we go.
Doesn't mutate the DNA. It does nothing to the DNA.
Does nothing to the DNA. This is all...
Okay.
It's so incredible to hear that you kind of get the idea that this has to be just a... It's a put-up. It's a joke of some kind. He's saying the inverse of the truth.
That's one of the social media myths that you have to throw out.
Blame it on the social media now. It's just anti-vaxxers, right? They're just spewing garbage.
It doesn't do anything to the DNA. It's just hard to imagine how it could have long-term effects. 90% of adverse events to vaccines happen in the first 6 weeks.
Okay. 90% of all the adverse effects of the vaccines happen in the first 6 weeks. Well, tell that, Drew, to the people who are coming down with cancer, turbo cancer, and they're dead within days or even hours in some cases, after having a shot or two a couple of years ago. This is preposterous.
That you have to throw out. That it doesn't do anything to the DNA. It's just hard to imagine how it could have long-term effects. 90% of adverse events to vaccines happen in the first 6 weeks.
It's hard to imagine how this could have any long-term effects, says Nobel Prize winner Drew Weissman. He did say this a year or two ago. It's not contemporary, but it's on video, and it's part of the public record. And he is either the most incompetent, inept scientist at his level ever, or he's not telling the truth. I don't know what other option we have for him.
Yeah, there isn't. It's one or the other. Neither one is bodes well for him.
Here we go.
We haven't seen anything. 15 million people have gotten the vaccine already. The only really serious adverse event is this anaphylaxis-like reaction.
15 million people have gotten the vaccine already, and the only thing we've seen are an occasional anaphylactic shock reaction. What about the drop-dead suddenlies? What about all of the incredible numbers of shingles? There's a long list of things here. Where was this guy living?
Not to mention the data of adverse events that they hid in their clinical trials.
Right, and the newest shot is not a booster. It's a brand new vaccine. So says Pfizer, and I assume Moderna as well. It's not a booster. So we have a brand new vaccine, and do remember that all of the shots you took in the past are now absolutely worthless. That's what they're telling people. You must get the new one to have any vaccine protection at all. Here we go. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
We're seeing in about 1 in 100,000 people.
Here, I gotta do this again. This is too rich. Hold on.
90% of adverse events to vaccines happen in the first 6 weeks. we haven't seen anything. 15 million people have gotten the vaccine already. The only really serious adverse event is this anaphylaxis-like reaction that we're seeing in about 1 in 100,000 people.
1 in 100,000 people. A reaction to these harmless powder puff injections.
Incredible.
Other than that, there really nothing, you know, 15 million people have been injected. That's a lot of people. And if we were going to see an unusual adverse event, you know, if would you care about something that occurred less than 1 in 15 million? You know,
I don't.
Less than 1 in 15 million. He doesn't know when to stop digging, does he?
But I have worse odds than that to win the lottery, right? That
exactly.
Never happened to me either.
Yeah.
Here's a question that's very interesting. It says, if the vaccine has been in the making for years, do you have a suggestion as to why we keep hearing in the press about this being a newly developed vaccine?
Well, no. So because the press is misstating that. It's the first time this kind of vaccine has been approved for people. It's been in clinical trials for 6 years.
It has?
And it never made it out of phase one.
Because?
The safety profile wasn't there.
No. And the new vax was essentially self-ordained and approved by Pfizer. And the extent of the trial was 10 mice.
Well, the Pfizer, their clinical trials for this thing was 44,000 people worldwide.
This is 2 years ago, and yeah. Okay.
3 years ago.
Three. So 44,000 worldwide. This is, and now they've gotten to the point where there are no clinical trials to speak of except for 10 mice. That's it.
Right, but don't forget, this. How many pages of clinical data from those trials they were forced to turn over, and they just keep finding, egregious.
Yeah. Smoking guns everywhere. 75,000 pages of hidden documentation. That's how much was...
Including death. Including death.
Right. Is death like anaphylaxis? Is that what that is? All right.
No, it's just a
I'm kidding.
All right, side effect.
Here we go. Yes, yes.
But it's the first time that it's approved, that the FDA has approved it.
Well, they didn't approve it. They authorized it.
They read that as brand new.
EUA.
It was a UA, yes.
Emergency use authorization. That's not full-blown approval.
No. He's just
but
winging
it. It's not.
He's. If he had a script, he lost it. He's gone. Talk about it running into the weeds. He's gone.
Press is misstating that. It's the first time this kind of vaccine has been approved for people. It's been in clinical trials for 6 years, but it's the first time that it's approved, that the FDA has approved it. So they read that as brand new, but it's not.
Okay. One of the questions, so we have a lot of young women who are working for us, and one of the questions that we get a lot when we're trying to educate people is whether or not the vaccine could potentially impact fertility or future fertility.
Yeah, so there's no...
Get ready for this one. We know right now that these shots have sterilized maybe... How many billion people? 2, 3, 4? We don't know. It's almost incalculable how many people have been sterilized and destroyed in a reproductive sense, at the least, by these shots.
No reason to think that. There's no reason. We have no data on that. For animals, we've immunized mice, macaques, and a bunch of other animals, and then they've gotten pregnant without any problem. They're just, you know, I never say never, because who knows, but there just isn't any data that there's that there's any effect on fertility. You know,
in the 75,000 pages of data, there is a people haven't thoroughly synthesized that and evaluated that mother load of Pfizer
right.
documents. And I would be willing to bet that there was a hell of a lot of indication that this sterilizing activity of the vaccine was understood and realized.
Oh, yeah. Naomi Wolf.
It was planned, of course. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Naomi Wolf has a team that is going over those documents with a fine-tooth comb, and they've brought to light many just horrific side effects from these things that occurred in the clinical trials that they knew about.
And what we're seeing now, again, and if you've been with us, you'll know, turbo cancers seem to be maybe the last big surprise. They're rolling out these things now, the new ones. We don't know what the turbo cancer rate is going to be in 6 months, but right now it's exploding. And it's absolutely out of control. And there doesn't appear to be anything that can be done about it either. No treatment, no protocols that are proving in any way effective. Not yet, because they don't even have enough time to put together a protocol to treat people. They're dying that fast. And they have no symptoms. Remember that. They go in, they're being worked up for something else, and the doctors or the medical staff discover, well, gee, you have cancer. Where do I have cancer? Well, it's all over your body. This is happening all the time.
Yeah.
You've seen and heard from Dr. William Mackus via video on this program about the turbo cancer explosion now. It's just absolutely cartwheeling into a horrific catastrophe. Here we go.
The one thing that we don't know about, and the FDA was a little cagey, was on pregnant women, on whether you should vaccinate pregnant women. The issue is that COVID can be very bad in pregnant women. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what the risks of the vaccine are yet.
Was it 75% of pregnant women who took the vaccine, the bioweapon, lost their child? Wasn't 75%?
It was significant, well over half. It was worse if it was in the early stage of pregnancy, first trimester. But then even later on, some of those women had stillbirth.
75% lost their children. That's one study I saw. This weapon is the deadliest, most horrific thing, and led by the spike protein, that humankind has ever created. And that's been
they did not waste really any time before they began recommending this to pregnant women.
No,
I think it was within a month or so of its release, suddenly they're recommending it to pregnant women.
I
monitored that Facebook group, and it was, I couldn't believe it.
Constantly beating at the same time, the fear drum, the fear porn drum, about don't get that virus. That virus is really bad. Never mind the stats on it. Never mind any of that. Okay, anything else to add?
No, keep going. This is really entertaining.
BG was on pregnant women, on whether you should vaccinate pregnant women. The issue is that COVID can be very bad in pregnant women. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what the risks of the vaccine are yet. My guess is that the risks of the vaccine are going to be lower than the risks of having COVID if you're pregnant, but I don't know. So, you know, the FDA basically said, talk it over with your doctor if you really want to do it, but they didn't say do it. And I agree with that. We need to study pregnant women more.
Okay. Here's a question asking, is it possible that this mRNA vaccine can cause potential cytokine storm?
Yeah, so no. Again, it's 15 million people. We haven't seen it. You see cytokine storm with chemotherapy, with CAR T cells, with certain types of infection. We just don't see it with this vaccine.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. One of the first things to sound the alarm was the people were reporting cytokine storms and the fear thereof. Medical people were worried about it. And this guy's saying, oh no, nothing there. Don't look. 15 million people, less than one, had an adverse reaction, and that was anaphylaxis.
Right.
This is astonishing to hear this. This is your new Nobel Prize winner. So there's an axiom running around now. Everything's been weaponized. Well, the Nobel is no exclusion. It's been weaponized. They use it for political purposes.
Well, as you said, it now endorses this vaccine as something beneficial.
Honestly, I've never heard anything like this ever. This is egregious. And if this is ever formally proven, not that we need the proof, we already know in a court of law, if there is such a thing anymore, that these vaccines were intentionally given to people to harm them, where does that put these Nobel Prize winners? Will they plead stupidity? We didn't know. We just didn't know. The thought never occurred to us. With all of their scientific acumen and expertise, they couldn't figure this out. He hasn't mentioned the spike protein yet, notice. None of that. He's talking about the vaccines as if they are just a vaccine.
Okay.
With any vaccine.
Another question here is, of the two kinds of fat that are in the vaccine that are in this very small amount, what is the source of this fat, since these two kinds do not come from our cells?
So we don't know. Three of the four are synthetic. They're made chemically in a test tube. One of the four, the companies haven't told us where they get it from. cholesterol.
But don't worry.
One source is from lanolin. But I don't know if the companies, I just don't know what source the companies use. So it could be from lanolin. It could be synthetic. They just haven't told us.
Okay. Is that concerning that they haven't told us?
No, I don't think they're required to tell us where the chemicals come from.
He didn't answer the question.
The FDA doesn't require it.
The other question about where things come from, the other one, of course, that we hear is, are there fetal cells that are used in the vaccine?
Never.
That may be the first true statement he's made.
Not entirely.
Okay.
Because when they check for the expression of the protein of interest, they do use the HEK293. Those are human embryonic kidney cells to test to see if they got the right sequence, if it's producing the right protein.
Right. All right. How much more do we want to do on this?
Oh, maybe another few minutes.
Okay.
I like the part where he says there's that coronavirus vaccines, or you cannot get antibody-dependent enhancement from a vaccine for coronavirus. That was the problem for 18 years. That's why we never had vaccines for coronaviruses.
This is really astounding. All right.
There's no reason to use fetal cells at all in this process of making a vaccine. the PETA people will be upset that they were tested in mice and tested in macaques, but that those are the only animals. And then I think it was tested in ferrets also, but those are the only animals that were used. No fetal cells were used.
Okay. Can you explain why the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines need two doses versus some of the other ones that we might be hearing about?
So the only one that's a single dose is the Johnson & Johnson. We haven't seen their efficacy data yet, so we don't know. The AstraZeneca was approved in the UK. That's the one where they screwed up the trial. Their efficacy is, they're reporting it as 70%. J&J will see. To me, it comes down to, do you want a vaccine that's 95% effective or 70% effective? If the Johnson & Johnson is 95% effective with a single dose, I would say use that, because one dose is a lot easier than two.
Is the Johnson & Johnson based on the mRNA, or is it a different technology?
No, it's an adenovirus.
Okay. So it actually has a little bit of the virus in it?
No, so what they do, so adenovirus is a common cold virus. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. They take the spike protein from the coronavirus and they put it in the adenovirus. So the only thing in the J&J is the spike protein.
Okay. Here's a question of, if the vaccine was in clinical trials or if mRNA was being used in clinical trials for 6 years, for which diseases were they testing it during those times? And were the clinical trials stage 1 on mice, et cetera, or was it tested for 6 years on humans?
No, these were human trials. The phase 1s are human.
Okay.
The first two were influenza vaccines. One of them was a rabies vaccine. There have been a bunch of cancer RNA vaccines. There's a big cancer vaccine trial going on right now with RNA.
Okay, we only have about 5 minutes left here. This goes on for another 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes. It's up under our names if you want to look at it. You'll see it's the link that said start at 12:36. You can't miss it. So it's there. But he's assured us that within a few days to a week, there's nothing left of this vaccine in your body. It's all gone. Everything's gone. Don't worry. Be happy. You're protected.
And he can't imagine that there could be any long-term effects of this.
No, not one out of 15 million who had received the injections. All right, well, look, this should give you an idea, a little inside look at the caliber of our Nobel Prize winners, at least for this year, and what they're able to rationalize and not rationalize, what they can and cannot see or don't want to see in these vaccines. If these people don't understand exactly what's going on, first of all, I don't believe it for a second. They shouldn't be in this business.
No. I really feel for all of the people who have, either lost loved ones or are suffering with crippling injuries at the hands of these people.
Or worse, death.
Mm.
How many dead people are there? I still think it's 20 to 30 million in this country. Worldwide, who knows? We've got about 6.5 billion have allegedly been inoculated, injected with these various vaccines. They're not all the same. They're not like Pfizer and Moderna. They're over 20 different companies who have made their version of this injection. So it's we don't have the same curve to apply to the world population yet. We have
right.
Western Europe, we have U.S., Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and we looked at a story last week that we published that showed Eastern European countries have virtually no big problems like the Western European countries do. Remember that?
Yeah, that was Dr. John Campbell had looked at the the world in numbers, looking at the excess deaths in various countries, and it's you can see with the Western white Western Christian nations, the death rates are, in terms of excess deaths, sometimes 40%. And then you look at some of the Eastern European countries, and they're actually gaining in terms of population. They're certainly not having the excess deaths that the Western world is.
Right. If you look under our names, you'll see another couple of articles. They're also in headlines in the section that pertains to the vax and the carnage it has left behind and is leaving behind. And it appears to be accelerating all the time. Two more pieces by Dr. William Mackis on the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 mRNA vaccines killing young people at the highest rate in 3 years since they rolled them out. All predictable. We called it early on. We weren't the only ones. There were others, not that many. Dr. William Mackis on mRNA vaccines and livestock. You can find out what's really going on in the cattle, pork, and poultry industries right now with respect to giving these shots. Not a good situation. So take a look at those. We have 2-3 minutes left. What do you want to do?
I was just going to say, with regard to that mRNA being used in livestock, it looks like, once again, Australia is being used for the...
Yeah,
they're leading the way in this. My gosh, yeah. Not good. But for now, he said that there is no mRNA being used in cattle in North America, and there is limited use of RNA in swine, no lipid nanoparticle and no modified mRNA. So I guess... that's a good thing. You know, you wonder what happens to these lipid nanoparticles being synthetic. They're probably incorporated into the meat if an animal were given that. And then that modified mRNA, who knows where that ends up because it doesn't break down. But anyway, that's what's coming eventually.
How many different vaccines are being reformatted right now as mRNA platformed vaccines? Dozens is the answer,
yeah.
If not virtually all of them. So the bottom line here is no needles. You don't need anything that comes through a needle in most every case. You just don't need it.
Well, I would qualify that. I mean, because people are getting paranoid about dental anesthetics and insulin injections.
In most every case, but there are always obvious exceptions. There was that story that came out a couple months ago about how what was it they were supposedly putting in dental anesthetics to try to frighten people away from the dentist?
The graphene.
The GO. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And now somebody's circulating a video that says they looked at ivermectin under the microscope and they found graphene.
Oh, no.
It's, you know, this is what happens when you have people with very, very limited scientific background attempting to, you know, provide scientific proof of something.
Or people who are directed to make those statements, and there's
right.
no shortage of those. They're out there.
My biggest concern now is these new COVID vaccines, because we really don't know what they are. They're supposed to be formulated to protect against this XBB 1.5, is it, which is now obsolete. But then again, the flu shot. There are reports of people getting very, very sick after having had a flu shot, this year's flu shot. Now, that may be because the people getting these flu shots have also been injected with this mRNA technology and will have had this material in them for maybe 2 years, 2+ years. So their immune systems are not right, and they may not be able to handle a flu shot. Or it may be that there is something in the flu shot. Maybe it's not an inactivated virus. Maybe it's attenuated rather than inactivated.
Flu shots are very risky. You'll have to make your own decision on that, but no way you can get me to take one of them.
No, the bottom line is you cannot trust these regulatory agencies anymore.
Can't trust anything in government or anything that works through government at this level. No, you cannot. They're proven genocidal liars, is what they are.
Yeah.
Here's one...
Criminal organizations.
Yes. Here's one little quickie. September 29th, 2023, died suddenly. It's a number 4 story. Remember this one? I don't want to give the punchline away.
Go ahead. It'll take me too long to find it.
All right. It's number 4... September 29th. My ex-husband had 3 siblings. All of them had multiple injections. You know what's. Not long after his last you know what, his identical twin brother, who was 56 and healthy, started seeing dinosaurs looking into his windows and other weird stuff. A week later, he couldn't form a sentence and fell silent forever. A week later, he left this world. Apparently, he had a fatal prion protein in his brain. This was the summer of 2022. His other brother, who was 52 and in good health, took 4 you-know-whats and was found dead on his bathroom floor last July. His third sibling, his 55-year-old sister, had red liquid, as in blood, coming out of her nose for months and found out she had sinus cancer, which they removed, but it was too late, because now it's turbo cancer that has spread all over her body. She will be gone soon. Thankfully, my ex listened to my warnings and never lined up for the you-know-what. And there's a photo of the two brothers down there below this. Anyhow, these things are happening all the time. You'll never hear about them. You'll not see it on the tube, on the big screen. It's all being covered up. It says... sickening. Okay, any final comment? Let's wrap this up. We're done.
No. That's it.
Yeah, thanks for finding that Weissman thing or whoever got it to you.
That was a Twitter find. And, you know, people are good detectives. They pick this up and they circulate it and help the rest of us stay informed.
Very good. Okay, thanks. Good job as always. Talk to you
pleasure.
Soon.
Right. Okay, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And thanks to you for being here. Do share these programs. Learn from them. Understand that things as presented are rarely as they are. Back in a few.